But this morning I have to sit in the chair and only listen to them bring him in. Still, even though I can't see him, I know he's no ordinary admission. I don't hear him slide scared along the wall. And when they tell him about the shower, he don't just submit with a weak little yes. He tells him right back in a loud, brassy voice that he's already plenty damn clean, thank you. They showered me this morning at the courthouse and last night at the jail. And I swear I believe they'd have washed my ears for me on the taxi ride over if they could have found the facilities. Oh boy, seems like every time they ship me someplace I gotta get scrubbed down before, after, and during the operation. I'm getting so the sound of water makes me start gathering up my belongings. And get back away from me with that thermometer, Sam, and give me a minute to look my new home over. I never been in the Institute of Psychology before. The patients look at one another's puzzled faces, then back to the door, where his voice is still coming in, talking louder than you'd think he needed to if the black boys were anywhere near him. He sounds like he's way above them, talking down, like he's sailing 50 yards overhead, hollering at those below on the ground. He sounds big. I hear him coming down the hall, and he sounds big in the way he walks, and he sure don't slide. He's got iron on his heels, and he rings it on the floor like horseshoes. He shows up in the door and stops and hitches his thumbs in his pockets, boots wide apart, and stands there with the guys looking at him. Good morning, buddies. There's a paper Halloween bat hanging on the string above his head. He reaches up and flicks it so it spins around. Mighty nice fall day. He talks a little the way Papa used to, voice loud and full of hell, but he doesn't look like Papa. Papa was a full-blood Columbia Indian, a chief, and hard and shiny as a gunstock. This guy is red-headed, with long red sideburns and a tangle of curls out from under his cap. Been needing cut a long time, and he's broad as Papa was tall. Broad across the jaw and shoulders and chest, a broad white devilish grin, and he's hard in a different kind of way from Papa. Kind of the way a baseball is hard under the scuffed leather. A seam runs across his nose and one cheekbone where somebody laid him a good one in a fight, and the stitches are still in the seam. He stands there waiting, and when nobody makes a move to say anything to him, he commences to laugh. Nobody can tell exactly why he laughs. There's nothing funny going on. But it's not the way that public relation laughs. It's free and loud, and it comes out of his wide, grinning mouth and spreads in rings bigger and bigger till it's lapping against the walls all over the ward. Not like that fat public relations laugh. This sounds real. I realize, all of a sudden, it's the first laugh I've heard in years. He stands looking at us, rocking back in his boots, and he laughs and laughs. He laces his fingers over his belly without taking his thumbs out of his pockets. I see how big and beat up his hands are. Everybody on the ward, patients, staff, and all, is stunned dumb by him and his laughing. There's no move to stop him, no move to say anything. He laughs till he's finished for a time, and he walks on into the day room. Even when he isn't laughing, that laughing sound hovers around him, the way the sound hovers around a big bell just quit ringing. It's in his eyes, in the way he smiles and swaggers, in the way he talks.